We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Thursday. It's July 1st. It's 2021. We have 7 baseball games to talk about here on today's slate, and I'm joined by my good buddy, Jordan Cooper, Blenderhead. What's happening, my friend?
I think now that we're heading into the summer months of baseball, we've seen from this past slate, or probably past couple of slates, I think my strategy overall in DFS applies to pitchers now in MLB. Just close your eyes and play wherever you want. What does it matter? What does it matter? Because is anyone going to get double-digit points anymore at pitcher? No matter what. Wait, we have a slate where Nola strikes out 11 and then implodes. And then Matt Harvey is throwing a no-hitter into the third inning. And it's just like, does the universe mean anything anymore? Does anything matter? Just close your eyes and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. Ozzie Albies outscored, I think, all the pitchers combined on this slate.
Ozzie Albies outscored half of the lineups I played.
So, it's always baseball's fun. Baseball has such high variance that, I mean, at the end of the day, you can play whoever you want, like Jordan says all the time. So, all right, we got 7 games to get through on this slate. We got a lot of weather concerns. Kevin Roth is going to be super busy here on Thursday, so we're going to break down these games like all of them are playing. And I mean, if things change, you know, you'll be able to adjust when you have weather news. I'm not a weatherman. Jordan's not a weatherman. That's why we leave it to Kevin Roth. We get started here with Milwaukee at Pittsburgh. This game has a 7.5 total. Milwaukee's a 240 favorite. Corbin Burns, Will Crow. Any interest here in Corbin Burns?
Well, I mean, against the Pirates that have a 3-run implied total, sure. I mean, the thing about the Pirates is that they're a plucky team. They don't necessarily generate the most amount of strikeouts. I mean, Corbin Burns is not going to be the most popular pitcher on the slate. We'll get to the most popular pitcher on the slate. But the problem is that the two top pitchers on the slate are also in games that have weather concerns. So if this game gets wiped off the slate, and the other game gets wiped off the slate, we're going to be back to, I hope my pitchers get positive points territory. But Burns at 9,200 against the Pirates. I mean, at this point, can I get 15 points out of any pitcher? I think I could get it out of Burns against the Pirates.
I mean, you hope so. Assuming that the weather is going to be okay here. I mean, the price doesn't make a lot of sense, but I mean, yeah, depending on like, if you want to classify Burns as like the top play, it's really tough because he's so much cheaper than Jacob DeGrom. And DeGrom's in a much tougher matchup here. So, yeah, I like Burns a lot, assuming the weather's going to be fine. On the other side, Crow, I mean, this team's terrible, but Will Crow is just not very good. Any interest here in Will Crow?
I mean, as an SB2 on DraftKings to fit in a high price stack, there's not much to choose from. I mean, we'll get to the late game. I think maybe the pitchers in the late game may be slightly better than taking Crow against the Brewers. The only positive thing that he has going for it is they're playing in Pittsburgh. That's a notoriously good pitcher's park. So I'm not opposed to Crow, but I'm not going out of my way to say that he's a good SB2 play.
Yeah, I'm not stacking the spot for like these teams. So, I mean, Crow, he's okay, I guess. He's not my favorite option. Yeah. Let's talk bats here. Anybody standing out to you for the Brewers?
I mean, is Christian Yelich broken? I mean, is this dude ever going to do anything anymore?
I think he's hurt. We say it all the time. I really do think he's hurt.
Yeah, but I mean, like, these prices on the Brewers are, on DraftKings are, like, why am I paying $4,800 for Luis Urias? $5,100 for Colton Wong in Pittsburgh. Like, there's no really cheat. There's Jackie Bradley and Keston Hira, and those are strikeouts waiting to happen. Like, just competitively compared to the pricing on the rest of the slate, yeah, I guess they have a 4.6 implied run total, but like, I just don't think any of these guys are going to project that well in Pittsburgh for their prices.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, the prices don't make a lot of sense. I mean, if you want to go like a three-man stack here, Crow's not very good to righties or lefties. I mean, you could go Adames, Navarez, maybe Yelich. But I mean, my favorite is probably from this whole entire team is probably Adames here. Like, he's been hitting the ball. He's been hitting the ball with power here recently. And Crow stinks against righties just as much as lefties. And shortstop's always the position that kind of drops off really fast. So, I mean, that's kind of why I like Adames. Anybody standing out to you here for Pittsburgh?
I mean, Polanco, $3,200. Michael Perez is a cheap catcher. You know, I know you like the cheap catchers. $2,300. But I mean, look, the Pirates went into Colorado and barely did anything. So like, what are they going to do in Pittsburgh against Corbin Burns? I mean, obviously weird things could happen in baseball. I'd have more interest in the Pirates, the more owned Burns was. So for instance, if the Braves Mets game, somehow there's some weather, it gets postponed or something like that, Corbin Burns' ownership is going to go through the roof. I mean, I still don't want to play the Pirates. I still more at that point, what other pitcher do I trust on the slate other than Burns? So you get into this catch 22 of like, okay, well, if DeGrom's not on the slate, Burns is going to be like 70%+ owned. Great leverage opportunity. The problem is that if you stack the Pirates, you still got to play two pitchers in your lineup. And I don't want to play anyone on the slate other than DeGrom and Burns. So you run into that problem. But as far as like one-offs, like grab a lefty. I mean, Adam Frazier, anything. 4K is a little too expensive, but second base, weak position. These are all leverage plays. If it wasn't for the fact that Burns would be owned, I would not be on the Pirates at all.
Oh, he's going to be owned. That's for sure. Moving on, we got the Dodgers and the Nationals. This game is a 9 total. Dodgers a 145 favorite. Gonzalez against Corbin. Any interest here in Tony Gonzalez?
Can you tell me for the longest time why DraftKings prices Gonzalez up like all the time for no reason? Like, why is he's always priced like 8,000, 9,000, and like he never pitches 100 pitches. I mean, like, I don't see why I don't even know why you play him no matter who he's playing against. And this is a game. This is the biggest weather concern on the entire slate. You know, the precipitation chance is 80%, and it's the Nationals. And the Nationals, you know, they see mist in the air. If someone sneezes and they see droplets, they could postpone the game. So I'm not even sure I'm going to even have to worry about this. But I'm more likely to take a shot on Corbin at 8,100 on the other side against the Dodgers. And that's how bad of the pitching slate that this could end up being, where Patrick Corbin against a 5-run total Dodgers, it could be a viable option.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. If this game didn't have weather, I think I'd have a ton of interest in Gonsolin here. And it's more of Soto and Turner are both hurt. We don't even know if they're going to be in the lineup. So Soto, I think it was just like a cramp, so it might not be anything like super serious. And then Turner, I'm pretty sure like he like jammed his finger or something. So I'm pretty sure he hit for like the cycle and then jammed his finger and left the game. So, I mean, the other thing with Gonsolin is you never know if he's going to get 80 or 90 pitches. I hope this game rains out. That'd be the easiest scenario for this game. But yeah, you mentioned Corbin. I mean, yeah, he has upside. If there's no weather in this game, he's 8,100. We're looking for this like mid-tier guy that can put up some fantasy points. And I mean, I don't hate this spot for him. So as far as the Dodgers bats go, anything standing out to you here for LA?
Well, if I don't play Corbin, I want to play bats against him. I mean, he's a high variance pitcher, right? He could come out and he could strike out 8. He could also give up like 8 runs in the first inning and walk 7 guys. So with all these righties in the lineup, Betts, Taylor, Turner, Pujols is 3,100. You could always play him. Will Smith, the catcher at 4,000. I mean, this stack, I mean, yeah, Betts and Turner are expensive, but you could fit a Pollock. Maybe Steven Souza's in the lineup. He's 2K on DraftKings. I mean, you could build a Dodgers stack easily. It's a 5-run total. It's one of the highest totals on the slate. If this game does play, I see no reason to, you know, why not attack Corbin? And if the game plays, I think the Dodgers could be semi-popular, which means that, you know, if you do play Corbin, you get some leverage in the opposite way. So, like, this is guided by a lot of this slate. I'm going to tell you from a context is going to be determined on this Pirates and this Braves game on the weather, because that's going to determine your lineup construction. Because if Burns and DeGrom are both available, you're going to need to find some cheap bats. So like having a Pollock at 3K or a Souza at 2K, Pujols even at 3,100, you're going to need these cheap bats in order to get those double ace pitchers in. But if one of Burns or DeGrom get knocked off the slate, now you're able to pay for more bats in general. So just understand that. So like it's, I would love to pay for the Dodgers if both Burns and DeGrom are in play, because then most people aren't going to be able to afford them. And then I'll take a shot on some 6K pitcher and hope to get there. Right. So to me, that's what's going to dictate my strategy. But in general, righty Dodgers against Corbin sounds like a good matchup to me in Washington, right? It's a ballpark upgrade. So really it comes down to what they're going to be owned.
Yeah. I mean, the weather is probably going to null and void this game, and the Dodgers prices, if I was playing the Dodgers here, I mean, Taylor and Will Smith, their prices, and Bellinger, even lefty lefty, the prices are juicy on these guys. So, I mean, we'll have to kind of see, you know, like you talked about with the Atlanta game, it's Atlanta. I mean, the weather, we might not know what the weather is going to do until 6:30 in Atlanta, because it's just as bad as Florida. So, the Washington side, I mean, if Soto and Turner end up sitting, maybe Schwarber is a one-off, but he's so expensive that...
What does it matter? He hits a home run all the time, right? Just pay any price. Doesn't matter. 7,500, who cares?
He's crushing the ball, man. Don't tell Derek Carty, hot streaks. Don't tell him. What are your thoughts on the Nationals?
I prefer that. It's kind of weird to say. I would prefer to play the Nationals if Soto and Turner were out, because then they'd end up being cheaper. And then you could play Burns, DeGrom, Nationals against basically Gonsolin and the Dodgers bullpen, which is, I mean, it's not a great spot or anything, but at least gives a cheaper stack. But I mean, Soto and Turner are both in the lineup. I mean, you got a $5,300 Turner, you got a $5,700 Soto, you got Schwarber at 55, you got Josh Bell at 46. Yeah, the bottom of the order is cheap. You can fill in a cheap catcher with a Beeler or something. But like then the stack just becomes as expensive as like any other stack on this slate, and it's just not as appealing anymore. I know the watered down lineup is a worse lineup, but I'd rather play the watered down Nationals lineup than the full strength Pirates lineup. So that has to be a plus.
San Diego at Cincinnati. This game currently sitting at a 9.5 total. San Diego's a slight favorite. Any interest here in Weathers?
Not really. I mean, the righties in the Reds lineup with the Castellanos and Suarez and India. And I mean, at 67, there's another pitcher on the slate. There are two other pitchers on the slate that I'd rather play in that price range. That I'm not even sure if Weathers is going to be very owned at all. But, I mean, the Reds could strike out a bunch, right? You may get it like Aquino in the lineup. Yeah, power, but, I mean, he could strike out a ton. I mean, this Reds lineup is strikeout heavy, but it's the Great American Ballpark. If you make a mistake, you're going to give up 8 runs.
Yes, it is the Great American Small Park. And Weathers is not a big strikeout guy, so there's going to be a lot of contact made here by Cincinnati, and they have a lot of good bats in this lineup. Castillo on the other side. I mean, Luis Castillo started the season terrible, and he's been pitching a lot better, but he's also had some really good matchups to kind of make that happen. He faced San Diego in San Diego not too long ago, threw 6 decent innings. He's 9K. What are your thoughts when it comes to Castillo?
I want to play Castillo if DeGrom and Burns are in play. Okay, because Castillo at 9K versus Burns at 9,200 against the Pirates, how owned do you think he's going to be against the Padres? Do you want to pick on the Padres with the ballpark upgrade? I don't. Most people don't. But if he's on DraftKings, like where you need to get 2 pitchers, like you play Castillo instead of Burns or DeGrom, and you play DeGrom or Burns with Castillo, Castillo could be 5% owned, right? We may see the Padres more owned than Castillo, but obviously once you start knocking out good pitchers, if DeGrom's not in play, if Burns is not in play, then Castillo actually becomes more of an option. Then people are like, oh, I guess I'll take a shot on Castillo. I don't want to play a chalky Castillo. I want to play a 5% owned Castillo. So really, that's why I said I'll repeat it again. This slate is going to be dictated by those 2 games and those 2 pitchers. And if those games play, if there's a concern, because obviously if there's a concern, people are like, okay, I don't want to take the shot. I don't want to take the chance. And this ownership starts coming down. But I think people don't view Castillo as a good pitcher anymore. Even recently, he's been good. And they're not going to want to attack this Padres lineup. And who says the Padres can't strike out 9 times in 5 innings? They can, right? They strike out a bunch. Just like I said, Great American Ballpark, Luis Castillo, 4 walks, 2 grand slams. Welcome -14 to your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You look at his season stats and nothing spectacular. You look at his last 30-day stats, his strikeout rate's up 5%, his xFIP's down over a run. The numbers just look a lot better. He's fixed the issue that he was having with, you know, the slider / changeup combo. And in that time, the strikeouts have come up. I mean, like you said, you look at the Padres lineup, they're patient. They don't usually strike out a ton, but I mean, there's strikeouts here. Pham strikes out, Gresham strikes out, Meyer strikes out, Carantini, if he's in there, even like Fernando Tatis Jr., he's the guy that strikes out. So, I mean, the upside's there. It really could go either way. So, I mean, I think it really depends, like you said. If we get Burns, Castillo is going to be 10%. If Burns gets rained out, Castillo is going to be a lot higher owned because he's the easy name to click right here in this range that you can have pretty much the same lineup even if Burns doesn't pitch. So, let's talk bats here. Anything standing out to you for San Diego?
I mean, obviously Tatis is in play every night no matter who he's up against. So, yeah, 6K, shortstop, fill him in, right? Especially if Turner's not on the slate, you know, he may have a very weak shortstop position. But, you know, I don't mind. I definitely don't mind playing the lefties, right? Maybe not Hosmer. I don't know. You know, I never thrilled to play Hosmer, but Grissom's 4,400. Cronenworth's 4,800. You know, Tommy Pham leading off. I mean, he has the, you know, the jack in a bag potential, right? You know, 4,600. I mean, they're competitively priced. I mean, if we get the bad Castillo, the Padres could put up 12 runs. So, you know, this high variance spot, I'm not sure if Castillo is in, like, here's the weird situation, Stevie. If Burns and DeGrom, one of the two or both, are out of play, that actually raises the ownership of Castillo, which makes the Padres a better play, right? So
it's, I like, was going to say the same thing.
Right, it's dictated by that. Like, the more Castillo is owned, the more I want to play the Padres. But the more that Burns and DeGrom are owned, that means the more that the Padres are going to be owned, because people want to find bats to, you know, to attack other people. So I know it's a we've already been running with the same type of thing. This is what happens when you do shows with me. I can't give you like what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm dictated more by ownership. So like, I think this is a very interesting strategic slate. With this, if we had no weather issues, then it'd be easy. It's static. It'd be like, okay, Burns, DeGrom, and how do you fit in some bats? That's going to be the chalk. We don't know what that chalk construction is going to be coming into an hour before lock. So I'm willing to run with anything, and on a short slate, leverage is even more important, right? You could find a 5% owned pitcher. You could find some sub 10% owned stacks type of thing that have upside, like. Go for it, especially if against a pitcher that's going to be owned. So I'm all for the Padres stack, the more owned Castillo is. And on the other side, the Reds, well, no one's going to own Weathers, but the Reds aren't bad. Just that, you know, I'm not all that thrilled on, you know, paying some of these prices necessarily. At Tyler Stevenson, 4,100, Suarez. I mean, you can make it happen, but I'm not enamored by the Reds.
I mean, the pinch hit risk on some of these guys you want to play too is always a concern with the Reds. Like Aquino, he's really cheap, but like he's a pinch hit risk. I like Suarez a lot at 4K. I think Castellanos is probably $500 to $1,000 too cheap. So, I mean, I definitely like the Reds. Weathers is a very hittable pitcher. I really like Suarez, really like Castellanos. And at that point, like, I'm willing to take some shots on some of these other guys. So, definitely like the Reds. Moving on. Houston at Cleveland. Valdez against Mejia. 9 total. Houston's a 182 favorite. Any interest here in Valdez?
I think Valdez is going to be the lost pitcher on this slate. Because he's 9,800. He's 600 more than Burns. He's 1,700 cheaper than DeGrom, but DeGrom's in a class by himself. Valdez will be more popular if Burns and DeGrom get rolled out. People may actually think it's more safe to play Valdez than Castillo against the Padres. So that's why I think, you know, Castillo's ownership may not be as high with one of them getting knocked out, but I'm Framber Valdez is not the type of pitcher that for 9,800, I'd almost rather take a shot on some of the cheaper pitchers and hope they get there. Cause I think he has a suspect ceiling, especially against the Indians, who they're not a bad team. They have a 3.9 implied run total, but like, it's not a team that I attack that often. And I want it to be with a good pitcher. And I think 9,800 is a little, I mean, does he have a good shot at 14 points on DraftKings? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Great. And on a slate where like no pitcher does well, you're going to want those 14 points. But outside of that, like ceiling wise, like Valdez is not a name that just screams like I could win a GPP with him.
So here's the thing. Valdez is a really good real life pitcher. And I don't think anybody really has an argument for that. My thing is, where's the strikeouts in this lineup? There's really not a ton of strikeouts in this lineup, and they don't walk a lot against left-handed pitching. So, I mean, I think he goes out and he throws 6 or 7 strong innings, strikes out 4 or 5 guys, and maybe gives up a couple runs in the process. And is that enough at 9,800? No, it's not. Generating 15 ground ball outs here is not enough at 9,800. So, I mean, that's just why, like you said, DeGrom's in a league of his own. Because DeGrom is a guy that can go out and get you double-digit strikeouts in 85 pitches. And we'll get to DeGrom in a minute. But, I mean, yeah, I think Valdez, I'm with you. I would give me a shot on, like, Ian Anderson. You know, something like that. Like, Patrick Corbin, I think Corbin has even like some strikeout, more upside strikeout wise against the Dodgers. Like, if everybody's going to go to Valdez, if Burns and DeGrom get rained out, I mean, go Castillo. Like, no, there's not even a question in my mind when you, when you're looking at it that way. I mean, so, Mejia on the other side, I mean, we're not playing him, right?
Well, I mean, how many innings? I mean, what are we doing? I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Vandal, he's not even a question.
I mean, well, if you watch Houston hit the ball this week, maybe, but.
Well, Matt Harvey could go out and throw a couple of innings of not maybe. Okay, maybe he can get there. I don't know.
All right, let's talk bats here. Houston, what's standing out to you for the Astros?
Well, they have the highest. They currently have the highest implied run total outside of Coors. Brantley's 3,900. Kyle Tucker's 3,700. Toro, 3,000. I mean, the other guys, you know, Altuve and Alvarez, you know, they're priced up. Correa. It's surprisingly affordable stack for, in comparison to some other teams that have lower totals. I think the Astros are going to be popular, though. So, like, you could make that stack happen easily, even with the Grum and Burns in your lineup. So, like, yeah, you may not be playing Gurriel. You may not be playing Correa or Altuve. You're not going to play both of them, right? But you could fit a nice Jason Castro or something, right? 2,200, you throw in a catcher. They're on the road, right? It's guaranteed ninth inning at bats. So if you get three of the main hitters, and then, you know, two cheapies, and then there you go. You got your five-man stack on DraftKings, and you're still able to play two good pitchers. But because I say that, that means that type of construction, the Astros, you know, guys like Tucker and Brantley, may be fairly well-owned on DraftKings.
On the Cleveland side, I mean, if Jose Ramirez is out, it's obviously a huge bump to Valdez. We'll have to kind of see what happens with that. I think he got hit in the face or something, right? Like fouled off a pitch in his face. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But anyway, man, I have interest in Cleveland if Valdez is going to be popular. But, I mean, it's so hard to like them because they don't have a ton of fly ball guys in their lineup. I don't know. Maybe this is just a spot that I hope Valdez throws five or six clean innings and doesn't strike out a lot of people and Cleveland bats don't do anything. I don't know.
Yeah, but I can see you could play some of these guys. I mean, I've known Ahmed Rosario, 3,600. Yeah, maybe he doesn't hit home run, but, you know, I get a double, stolen base. I mean, he could get there on volume, I guess. Harold Ramirez, 2,900. Obviously, I'd be more inclined to play the righties, but you know, like Cesar Hernandez is a little too expensive. Austin Hedges is a cheap catcher. I mean, you could make it happen. It's just that, you know, typically the Indians are running out, like half their lineups are lefties, which gives a bump up to Valdez. It's just not necessary for strikeouts. Just a lot. I just see a lot of ground balls here. Ground balls, ground balls, ground balls, and. I don't think you're gonna win a G. I don't think you're gonna have the winning stack be one that hits a whole bunch of ground balls. I think the stack that hits five home runs, because that seems to happen every night. You're gonna need, but maybe these one offs, maybe the filler guys, so you can make those lineups happen. You know, a $2,900 Harold Ramirez or an Austin Hedges one off for $2,400 or Ahmed Rosario $3,600 at shortstop could make the rest of your lineup happen. But I don't think I'm prioritizing making Indian stacks against Valdez.
Mets and Braves. This is another one of those games we've kind of already talked about. Weather. Six total in this game. Lowest total on the slate. Very rare to see a six total game in baseball. Mets are a 160 favorite here. We got Jacob DeGrom against Ian Anderson. All right, talk to me about DeGrom. I'll let you go first on him. I mean, you're the tournament game theory person. He's 11-5. He hasn't thrown over 100 pitches since April 23rd. What are your thoughts here on Jacob DeGrom?
He'll probably be the best projected pitcher by multiple points. So how do I argue against that? Even you give him 88 pitches in the bat, he still may project 8 points higher median than Burns, even against the Braves. So, yes, I know he's 11-5, but, I mean, what pitching do you like on this slate? I mean, I still need to roster two pitchers on DraftKings. You can make a case for me on FanDuel with one pitcher and go, okay, maybe DeGrom only pitches five innings, 80 pitches, gets eight strikeouts, and you don't need him. Someone else kind of equals him. And it's okay, fine. But on DraftKings with the two pitchers, I'll be happy to get 30 points combined a pitcher these days. So, like, if Jacob DeGrom gives me the best shot at that, I don't care. What if 70% on? What do I care? When half the pitchers are negative. So, like, just give me the positive points and let me get on with my life.
Okay, he's the best pitcher in baseball. I don't think anybody really can argue that. I mean, sure, you can argue it, but you're wrong. He's the best pitcher in baseball. A little worried about the whole arm situation, but his pitches have been increasing every time out. He threw six innings against the Phillies last time out. It's like you said, not only does he project as the best pitcher, he is the best pitcher. So, I mean, you could go double barrel pitcher in this game. Ian Anderson is in a great spot here against a weak Mets lineup. He's a really good pitcher. These two guys could combine for 50 plus fantasy points. And because of Ian Anderson's price, it really doesn't make that as hard to get to DeGrom in this game.
No, I agree with you. And I think a lot of people may do that. I mean, I think
people hate doing it though, Jordan. People hate playing pitcher because it limits their upside of getting a win.
A lot of these pitchers, we go an entire slate and no one gets a win. I mean,
just saying.
I don't even
care. People haven't adjusted.
I'm rostering pitchers just hoping not for negative points. So, I mean, he could only get 20 and not 24. Like, if I get 20 out of a pitcher these days, I'm outside naked celebrating. So, I mean, like, what do I care about negative correlation in a lineup, right? Obviously, in cash or something, you don't care. But at 7,100, who cares who gets the win? Play both of them and you just get all the points. But I must say that if Ian Anderson becomes popular at 7,100, like, this Mets stack could be pretty, pretty cheap. McNeil, if he's back.
Because they stink.
Conforto, 3,100. Dominic Smith, 3,400. I mean, these guys are priced a little. I know it's a 3.4 run total, but, I mean, they're playing in Atlanta. That's a ballpark upgrade. If I see Ian Anderson on DraftKings at, like, 30-plus percent owned, like, I'm going to play some Mets stacks.
I hope it doesn't work out for you.
I'm much more likely to have more Anderson than the Mets.
Yeah, for sure. I don't really have any interest in bats in this game. I get what you're saying. I mean, if you're playing 150 teams, you know, I'll throw this question at you. If you're playing 150 teams, I don't play that anymore.
But you know that I do. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm very open about what I play nowadays. And if you're playing 150 teams, do you, on a 7-game slate like this, where we could have potentially one or two games get rained out, look at a Braves stack against DeGrom?
It's weird to say, but possibly not. Not a stack. I may have individual hitters, but it's more based on the fact that you have to go in almost expecting that the first half of the game, you're getting no points, right? And then just hoping that like whoever the bullpen comes out and they hit off the bullpen. Like, even if the Grum pitches four innings, like, they're not priced low enough. How do I pay $5,800 for Acuna against the Grum? How do I pay these prices?
He's let, what, one home run up this season, right?
He's given up less runs this season than Ohtani did today, right? I mean, like, come on. I mean, he's easily the best pitcher in baseball by a large margin.
He's let up three home runs this season.
The Braves are going to be the lowest owned. They are going to be the lowest owned stack, the lowest owned players, but. Like, you have to treat it like it's a five-inning game, like a four-inning, like it's one of these short doubleheaders, and go, you're potentially paying for two at-bats against not the Grum. Or is it worth it? So that's why, to me, the stack, even in 150 lineups, I would have zero. But I still may have, you know, Albies ends up in three lineups, and Freeman ends up in four lineups. and Swanson ends up on the line. And at least I have some Braves, but I'm even on a 5-game slate. It's just like, I'd rather play bottoms of the orders stuff. I'd rather do other stuff in other games than take batters at their normal prices against the best pitcher in baseball.
All right. Moving on. We got St. Louis at Colorado. Wainwright and Sensatella in this one. Another game that potentially has some weather. We'll have to see because it's Coors and you never know. It's 11.5 total. Cardinals a 136 favorite. Any interest here in Wainwright?
Would it be weird for me to say yes?
No, not on this slate.
Not on this slate.
I mean, I played Marquez the other day, and he threw a complete game shutout with only allowing one hit. I mean,
yeah, but Marquez is a good pitcher, and the Pirates are awful.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies are awful, and Wainwright's a decent pitcher.
He's a decent pitcher. Yeah, I guess so. I'm more interested in Wainwright, like if I need to get different somewhere, right? Like hopefully he gets me 10 points, right? That's what I think about pitchers these days. It's like, I just go into the slate going, I hope you don't get blown up in the first inning, so at least I have something to do tonight, right? Like, that's all you're hoping for. But, I mean, the Rockies are not a good hitting team. I mean, the fact that they're in Colorado boosts them. They have a 5.5 implied run total, but that's primarily due to where they play. It's not like the Rockies are cheap or anything, so it makes me less inclined to even play them as a stack. So if I'm going to play less of the Rockies, why not play some lineups with Wainwright and, you know, give me 5 innings, give me 4 strikeouts, give me 6 innings, 4 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 1 walk. Give me that type of game. Give me the win, right? Give me 16 points on this slate. Maybe that's good, especially if DeGrom and Burns are out of play. I mean, maybe that's fine.
I mean, you never know. Sensatella on the other side.
Are the Cardinals that bad?
I mean, he's just not good. He's just not good. I mean, I don't think the Cardinals are anything to write home about. Don't get me wrong, but Sensatella is just, I mean, he doesn't give up any fly balls. He's a massive ground ball guy. It doesn't matter what ballpark he's pitching in. It's not like the bottom of this Cardinals lineup is any good. He's 5,100. I think you would agree with me. 15 fantasy points at 5,100, we'd be super excited about.
I'd go naked again. I'd be celebrating in the street. I'll be knocking on my neighbor's doors for that. And Sensatella is like the pitcher version of the leverage play. The Cardinals are going to be the chalk of the slate. The highest implied run total, and DraftKings, of course, as they normally do when it's the first game in the series, forget to raise the prices on anyone. So Carlson's 3,800, Goldie's 45, Tyler O'Neill's 4,000, right? You get Paul.
They're just the bottom, going to be, I mean, so popular here.
Arenado, revenge game, right? We always have to say that, right? He's in Colorado now, whatever. Yeah, the Cardinals are going to be the chalk stack of the entire slate, and we've seen the Cardinals completely die before in great spots. So if you want to do the reverse, if you're going to fade the chalkiest stack on the slate, there's no reason not to. If I, like you said, 150 lineups on DraftKings, maybe not on FanDuel. You don't need 2 pitchers on FanDuel. No need to play Sensatella, but on DraftKings, if your strategy is to, like, I'm going to fade the Cardinals and play something else. Well, for all those Cardinal lineups to do poorly, most likely Sensatella at 5,100 scores enough points that you'd take it for 5,100, right? It's not like the Rockies pitcher. It's not like it's John Gray at 9,200 or something, right? A $9,200 pitcher would have to put up a good amount of points. 5,100, I mean, give me 12 points. And a 12-point Sensatella means that the Cardinal stack probably didn't do well, and you get the best of both worlds. So I would not be opposed, only because if the Cardinals were properly priced, they were all 5K, and people couldn't necessarily play the Cardinals that much, then it'd be like, then what's the point of playing Sensatella? But if the Cardinals are going to be on this slate, especially if you start knocking out games, right, this becomes a 5-game slate, this is going to be a 30% owned stack. And if you're going to fade the stack, why not play the pitcher?
I mean, bats in this game, they're all in play. Don't spend a ton of time here. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Rockies? I know we pretty much have talked about St. Louis. They're in a great spot. What are your thoughts on the Rockies?
I mean, the Cardinals are a better team and they're much cheaper. I mean, I guess you could play Blackman. I guess you could play, I mean, I prefer to play lefties against Wainwright, but they really don't have any other than Tapia and Blackman. Crone has some power, obviously. Story's there. I mean, if McMahon even is he injured or something? Who knows if he's going to play? But he's expensive. Just the Rockies are just. I'd much rather play the Dodgers against Corbin if that game plays. I'd almost rather play other stacks, and I think the Rockies will still get ownership because they're in cores.
We finished it out. San Francisco at Arizona. Cueto against Kelly in this one. This game currently sitting at a 9 total. San Francisco is a 136 favorite. Any interest here in Johnny Cueto?
This is one of those pitchers. The pitchers in this game, I look at and go, if I need them, there's worse that could happen, right? Cueto's 7,300. The Diamondbacks are quite likely the worst offense in all of baseball. They're one of, if not the worst. Cueto's not, you know, high upside, but he's also 7,300, right? It's not like Valdez, who's 9,800. What do I need out of Cueto at 7,300 on a slate that may have a million points, right? It seems like every baseball slate, you need to score 7 million points to win. So can I get 15 out of Cueto here? Sure, why not? I look at Merrill Kelly kind of the same way. Yeah, the Giants are a better team than the Diamondbacks. But it's not like I'm that scared of the Giants. And who said that Merrill Kelly at 6,300 could come out and give me 12 points? And as long as I get the stacks right, if I'm in a lineup, let's say all the games play, like there are going to be so many lineups that are DeGrom Burns and cheapness bats. Well, the only way to get an expensive stack is by paying down somewhere. Why not pay down for Cueto or Kelly? I don't think they're going to be. I think Ian Anderson is going to be more owned. The Mets are a worse team than the Giants, and Kelly. I think Kelly could be single digit owned. I think Cueto could be single digit owned. People don't like clicking his name because he's not a bad pitcher. He's more of a good real life pitcher, but not, you know, you don't think of him as DFS goodness. But this day and age, I just want positive points for my pitchers, please. So, like, I think I could get positive points from Cueto, and I pair him up with DeGrom or even Burns, a 9,200 Burns and a 7,300 Cueto. Like, I don't have to play the Cardinals. I could pay up. I could pay up and play a Padres stack. I could play a Dodgers stack if that game plays. A Houston, I could play all the good pieces of the Houston lineup. I could do something that other people aren't doing. So I'm not against, I'm going to get either pitcher in this game.
Man, I can't play Kelly here. I can't do it. I'm just huge fan of the Giants. I'm like the head of the Giants like fan club at this point. I mean, I don't think playing any pitcher is a bad idea on this slate, outside of maybe a few of them. But I mean, Kelly is a guy that is really decent against righties. So if you're playing Merrill Kelly here, you're hoping that the Giants roll out a really right-handed heavy lineup. With Bell on the IL and Yaz banged up, then, I mean, you could potentially get that lineup. But they did say that, like, Yaz is supposed to be back and he's supposed to be in the lineup for this game. So, I mean, I think Kelly all depends on what you're looking at lineup-wise. What are your thoughts on the Giants' bats here?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm not going to play Kelly, I want the lefties. So, I mean, Crawford, Dickerson, Lamont Wade, but I mean, it's not like they're cheap or anything. I mean, it's just like the Giants are really not that cheap of a team anymore. Posey's 4,700. So, I mean, are they going to be popular? No.
I know. I like the Giants stack here, but I mean, I like the Giants stack every day, so you can't listen to me.
And the Diamondbacks. Here's my selling. Here's my marketing pitch for the Diamondbacks. They're cheap.
Done.
Other than Escobar at 5K, like, they're, you know, Yeah, they're the cheapest stack on the slate, and it's not like Cueto is like a world beater or anything. You know, if you want to jam in Burns and DeGrom, I mean, there you go. Here's your vomit stack. The problem is that, you know, that's who says other people aren't going to do that. You know, I need to get two good pitchers, and I guess I need to play a three-man. You know, I need to play a Van Meter, Peralta, Walker three-man or something. Yeah, so the Diamondbacks may actually be a slightly more owned than they should be. But if you need cheapness, there you go.
All right. Let's play the morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today. Who do you got?
Under 8K. Get six or more. Six or more?
Yes.
Six or more. Should I let you have Ian Anderson?
I mean, you can take whoever you want.
I could take whoever I want. I'm going to take Johnny Cueto.
That's who I was going to take. It was Anderson and Cueto are the two options, in my opinion, and sounds like you agree. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
I still have to go with Gonsolin. If that game even plays, just the pitch count wise, it's kind of hard for him to get that many strikeouts pitching 80 pitches.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is Corbin, because it's either going to be 20 or 5. So I'm going to say Corbin. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Who do you got?
Okay, not in cores. And not in any of the weather games. And it's just we're down to nothing, pretty much.
Yeah, done.
Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Over 4K to hit a home run, not in cores. Over 4K, it's hard to pick. Over 4K, I'll just do it. You can't go wrong with this guy, Fernando Tatis.
I mean, I'm gonna go really off the board here. I'm gonna go Willy Adames. I talked about him a long time ago. I really like him so. Under 4K to get two hits. Who do you got?
I'm gonna go with my utility guy against Valdez. I'll go with Ahmed Rosario.
I'm gonna go Cody Bellinger just because this price is ridiculous. I don't care if he doesn't get two hits or not. He should never be this price. Stack to score six or more runs.
Not in cores.
Not in cores. Come
not
on.
Not in cores. Six or more runs. Six or more runs. Not in cores. Yeah, just give me the Astros. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking, like the Astros right there with you. I'm going to say the Reds against Weathers. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Oh, no bet. I don't have a bet.
No.
I would bet on how many games actually play on this slate.
I knew that was exactly the bet. I almost said it because I knew that was exactly what you were going to say. That's funny. That's too funny. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Make sure you're paying attention to Kevin Roth and the weather report. Crunch time is going to be a must tomorrow unless games are like rained out really early. So make sure you're watching Crunch Time at 6:30 Eastern with Kevin Roth, Cheese is Good, and Mr. Tuttle. And don't forget, tomorrow night on YouTube and RotoGrinders live page, they got the NBA live betting show. You can also check out Blender in the mornings at 11 Eastern for the DFS pregame show. Maybe he'll go over, and I'm sure he'll answer questions. If you guys have questions about the five-game early slate, and maybe, you know, he'll have a better idea on the weather of some of these games as well. So check him out Monday through Friday for the DFS pregame show. That's going to wrap it up. Hope everyone enjoyed. We'll be back on Friday tomorrow talking some more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.